interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism. To bring you Behind the Woodshed, this is Cricketude Busting episode VTWRLM 450. Can you almost believe that? The numbers are just kind of slowly climbing up. And I just hope people are really picking up what I'm saying. Again, it's an interesting type of way of communicating in this medium, particularly where I knew we would be being shut down left and right, and how to maintain some exposure. And then my dismay that there's not many people, there's a few, but not very many people that are really going to embrace what needs to really be done. And I don't know why that is. It seemed to me to be a pretty clear opportunity. And I don't know, a lot of it's just somehow we were just misinformed, never really paid much of attention. I can't say I ever did. I just knew there was, you know, like we all do, there's some things wrong. And that's just the way things go, and we'll put up with it. But then we didn't realize there was actually a type of noose coming around the necks of societies. And then again, this thing, this so-called pandemic, is the epitome of that noose. And we have not struggled even a little bit to come out. And it's getting to the point where the house of cards is coming in, but it's not going to be because the people did anything to assert themselves. And the players, the criminals that should have been stopped, just learned a whole lot. They'll reposition. And again, as they've said, it's endless diseases. It's going to be all kinds of endless things that are the next catastrophe. Remember, and don't forget, please, the climate change thing is always going to be here. It's just the thing that they've figured out to try and do. And people are as little savvy to that as they were to, or are to, what's now turning into the anagram variant. Beware the Omicron, I guess. The anagram-demic now, for the moronic. Fascinating what they do right in front of our face. The moronic variant. I just don't get it, folks. It's pretty funny what they do right in front of our faces. And we won't do anything really to stop it. And the only thing I can keep on figuring out is the only touchstone we have is in the storm of this insanity is the law. And that's, again, not because it's generically good. It's that the things that at least I can see for us that we can touch, we can grab, we can hold on to and present as an objective basis is the power. It's not something of opinion. It's the antidote to what this condition is. The law is the antidote. Why? Because the condition is one, to subvert your law, to usurp the law, to sidestep the law, to cause it to become the policy, to come in as an adjunct to the law, and then they just sweep the law, the objective basis of where all your protections are, off the table. They at least cover it with a tablecloth. And so this is, again, coming into this time. I was just remembering the other day, as I move aside here, I came into, I think I told everybody, I said I was coming to a time when it was getting black for me. I couldn't see. I saw somewhat, but then I couldn't, there was a spot I couldn't see. I think it was around 2011 or so. And I was really kind of wondering what was going on because it was really a dead spot. Just absolutely black. And then I think I forgot about it, and I turned up a year and a half later after that and realized we had gone through the time period. And then we were facing this, and this is back again a decade ago. And we were dealing with the new things then. But what came on the horizon was this knowledge that we were set up and we were going to have to rise to the occasion and we were going to be given that opportunity. Come around now another 10 years and we're looking at the, as I told you, it's the worst thing that societies can face, but it's also the opportunity of their lifetime. And so we really have to stand up. And when it gets to the point where we're looking at anagram demics here, where they make up words and they're telling you what they're doing there. They're telling you what it is, and we don't respond. It's really, I mean, I don't know what more to think. I look, my eyes get really big at the astonishment of what societies will do. Again, this is not a naturally occurring event. This medical is not a medical necessity. This is not a medical necessity at all. It's man-made. Don't ever forget how that works, and be careful how we press on that too hard. In fact, I've been a little light to touch it. Constitutions will say that the government has police power, even man-made destruction. And so we don't want to be, we want to be careful not to say, well, this is man-made to the point where we hand the scepter of power, unbridled power, upon the government. This is why I've been trying to show you have a certain path to go so that we kind of walk between those two principles of destruction. That's where we're the narrow path. So this is not a naturally occurring event of medical necessity. What's the medical reason? Trying to look at this a different way a bit. Trying to give people things to see, maybe ways to think about it, how to address things, how to defend themselves. Thank you for some people. You're starting to see what I've been saying for yourself. You're seeing that another place to put yourself that brings you outside of the contention. It places the duty to do something on someone else, not because you're shirking a duty. You have none. You're the innocent. You are being defamed, if you will. You're being blamed, criminalized, without any due course of law at all, or reason, or anything. So what's the medical reason for taking an experimental substance for a purported disease with a survival rate of 99%+? Is starting again, looking at, well, this is the mitigation side, and you're asking me to do something before you've done the necessity of showing me what? Proving, demonstrating the non-fraudulent agency, providing the evidence of the infectious agent by which all this insanity has been coming and allowing to be present in the world. In a way, this is not surprising either. We're told deception, I've said it before in broadcast, deception was coming onto the world. There's people that will deceive. We're told in the Bible will tell us relative to all this that there's deceivers and we have to be guarded against them. We still have our own duty to ourselves and other people as well, though. If we want to bring this better, we have to defend that. And this is the thing that I saw a long time ago. It's like Machiavelli's world. He was telling the prince the truth about how it works and you better be brutal. Well, for peaceful people, we don't have to be brutal, but we definitely have to defend against those that want to be. And you found out now that all jurisdictions everywhere, forget the law, forget the objective basis. And you did all too, most of you. You did too, and so they did too, and now crime is upon the world. And it just takes a bunch of good people to be quiet to let this go on. So another view on this, maybe to bring more context, relative to identifying this condition, given people have a God-given superior antibodies and immune response. It's already built into you. What is the legitimate medical reason to take an experimental substance creating serious side effects? Serious adverse side effects. You see now they're listed more and more. More and more. And they knew them before, as we said, as I reported behind the woodshed. What's the medical reason to take an experimental substance that creates these serious side effects and creates inferior antibodies? Which also, in the taking of this, brings one more susceptible to subsequent infection, to any contagion. It opens the door to all of them. And those of you that already know this, and you don't, or you know this, but I'm saying this and you know this, what I'm saying is that you want to go tell other people, go find the facts to this. This is not about medical necessity at all. It's a man-made bioweapon for profit, control, and subjugation. Now, most people may not jump to that. But you should be able to bring forth and say, well, if they haven't identified the contagion, and now it's admitted by the manufacturers have admitted that it's a chemical weapon, and that they do not work. What is the continuing question? Okay, I'm going to pause here. This is absolute insanity. To make an anagram variant now, what people don't realize, there's no basis for much of anything, except for to tell you that you're moronic to believe it. Is the height of them playing with us, and we're accepting it. And I say that in generality. This thing should have shut down before we walked into this thing in March of 2020, and it didn't. I still see people arguing about a lot of this stuff, and not many will support the position of asking and demanding the infectious, the proof, the demonstration of the non-fraudulent agency and the production of an infectious agent. We now know and knew then there was no test for. So even if the manufacturer admitting this chemical weapon that does not work. It doesn't prevent any infectious agent. But they do work to advance the most successful business model ever executed, doesn't it? The government promoted, government required, government protected, sustainable profits now and for those precious future generations that we hear about sustainability all the time. Let's look really quickly on these admitted bioweapons in the recent November 26th experimental substance VAERS post-market analysis shows that 19,532 jab dead, 99,943 hospitalizations, 102,602 urgent care events reported. These are only the reported ones. On a safe and effective vaccine. Like I said, the effectiveness is that it's a successful business model. That's how they start to speak. They don't speak from your perspective, what you think. They're speaking from what they're getting. The future we want was nothing to do with you, right? So the future we want as a corporation is more profit, more control, more ability, immunity to the harm we create. Now here we have the tail of the tape. The government itself, the main promoter of it, telling you how deadly and harmful this thing is. And that's just three numbers. When you get to the webpage and the link on this openvars.com website, it's all those things I've told you about and listed and read some from the documents of the manufacturers. It's listed here. And tens of thousands of people are harmed. So we have those numbers. Then we have the disabled screams that you'll never hear. The count of that's innumerable. They're not even listed on this. The unspoken, indirect, irreparable harms are completely incalculable. They're not going to be listed here as well. Don't forget about the things you don't see. The societies, the peoples that have been destroyed and being destroyed through this, and to come for future generations. Everything denying the preventing of a disease, of an infectious agent that they can never test for is just amazing to me. So we go ahead and get the latest numbers. It's not pretty. Also notice I did a little quick calculation. They had two numbers, one for the domestic and one for the extra to the domestic of the United States. And I think that's the states of the United States, those Virgin Islands, all the territories. And I noticed, if I remember correctly, there's a higher incidence when you add the differential, when you add the territories amongst the, I would have to say my islander people and all this, the non-mainland people, in the territories and possessions of the United States, the incidence of harm is higher. In one case, I think it was the overall harm was four times more harm in those territories for this. It's amazing. I just did a differential check, and I could not believe, because I noticed they have two listings. Well, why do they have two listings? Well, if you look at the difference, and then you look at the difference in the percentage, the people that are in the territories are suffering four times worse, it looks. Maybe some of you can do the better math than I don't. This week was very, very pressured. I didn't have a ton of time to really dive deep, but anyway, we'll do what we can here to show you. There is a problem. We need to get a handle on it. We need to stop the nonsense. Breaking news may be that there's some health systems that are now not requiring mandatory vaccinations now. And so the house of cards may be starting to be blown down, but they do. If there was a letter I read just breaking into the broadcast. They are requiring that you declare whether or not you're vaccinated. And so in those places, this is in the United States now. One's in Florida, one's in Ohio hospital system. You need to put the affidavit I've said that you need to put up forward by challenging that they haven't produced the necessity. so you don't have to commit. You don't have to convict yourself in your so-called testimony to the private contractor or the hospital or the employer. And as we move this thing through, as we see the harms come on us, it's not on us necessarily that are not taking the vaccine. There is a question whether or not the plasma can carry the protein which we might get infected by, which might cause us some problem. But it's likely that people that are not vaccinated will certainly not have it in their system bypassing their defenses. And then this is not to say that there's not something out there. I just had a friend of a friend tell me that him and his wife got beat down bad with something. Now, I did test COVID, but we know the test, there's no test, so they don't know what they really got. But it is something that I've said before, when I first broke into this, there's a real flu out there. It's been killing people in greater numbers for 3 years before we got into 2019, and they're not doing anything about that. You're not hearing anything. It's as if they're using COVID to cover that they're not doing something against something they claim if vaccines work for influenza, they're doing nothing to curtail that one. That number is so low in the world that it still has a place to go. Anyway, so I've got friends of friends that did get something. They supposedly tested, you know, how do you test it? The test that doesn't work. The PCR is not a test. But the test was that, and I just told it. So for some reason, the protocol was to demand that they, strongly assert that they take remdesivir. And something told my friend not to do that. And his wife, they told his wife not to do that. And they were going to put him on remdesivir and then put him on ventilators. And something told them not to. I haven't talked to them about it. They did this on their own. Likely they saved their life. See, we're talking to him a month after he gets out of the hospital with his wife. And they're still alive. But it is nasty, whatever's out there. But to me, it hasn't been shown to be anything more than a potentially deadly flu. It does take task your system. And I don't know about most people, but in my life, I've been hit by a couple of flus, and it's pretty devastating. I think the worst one I had, I've still had effects of it for probably 3 months one time. But that had nothing to do with when I was actually near death, when I had blood poisoning, sepsis. So I know that extent as well. So the problem point about this is there's something out there. We have to give it respect. It's nature doing its thing. But this other thing, this fraud, is a cover for lots of things on top of the fraud, the covering of its own successful business plan. And this new treatment may cause, this chemical weapon, may cause a whole bunch of problems here that those of us that were going to be left, essentially, may have to you have to look into the future a little bit. And I don't want to get too weirded out on this, but it's going to be a weird time if people really start dropping like flies because of what we are seeing. I mean, I'm watching videos now, kids in school just dropping over, just falling over, people falling over. I'm thinking, well, how do you stop that? I mean, can you see people that are getting hurt? Can you get to them before they go? Can you get them somewhere? No, these people keel over and die. I've never seen so many pictures now, videos of that. I actually don't even like watching them, but there's something about it. I want to see, is there clues? Can we get clues to help people before they go into this? Because that's where we're going to go. If this is what it looks like, if it is the chemical weapon and you die over time, people are going to be having trouble and people are going to be dying in numbers. We've heard the numbers, maybe 2 to 3 years. Everybody's got a shot, may not be here. What do you think that's going to do to your system? What are your systems, your supply chains, your real supply chains, your friends, your neighborhoods? There's going to be an interesting time. We better put our minds toward that. As I've been saying before, I've said this and suggested before, we better prepare ourselves. We have to prepare our minds for the very real potential that people taking the jab will die or be very disabled. And observe in that thought how you will function in a society defined by supply and service breakdown. These breakdowns, they're telegraphing that are on. Get literal. We heard a bit about the 1918 pandemic, whatever they called it. That was U.S. military spread around the world. Another cause by the United States to do so. And we saw the devastation of something that actually came through. Was what? It wasn't the infectious agent itself. It was actually the bacterial infection that came following it, like nature tends to do. Not even that, I don't think, would fly today. I think that would be dealt with pretty quickly, if you know about it. But when you see that people are dying, not because of the pandemic, the 1918 flu, it was because of bacterial problems. You saw society, cities closed down. That's going to be our future. And there has to be a cleanup around that. So think a little bit about that. I don't get too, like I said, I'm not getting too deep in it. I am putting some thought in, all right, what's going to happen here if this stuff really starts to come down? And part of this is because you heard it in the Abu Ghraib stuff. They didn't want to tell how they were torturing people in Abu Ghraib, because what they didn't want to do is allow people to prepare their minds, gird thy loins, I guess I can say, prepare themselves mentally before they got surprised. It's a technique. You don't tell what your torture techniques are, so that the surprise, the shock, the imposition, the unknowingness of it, the fear of the unknown has a working that works on people much greater than if they had known before. So I'm asking for us to take that away for the time being until we can see this thing's going to stop. I mean, people in Australia know it's not stopping. This is not a medical thing, as I was getting to before. This is not a medical reason. But prepare ourselves, prepare our minds, prepare for the surprise and the shock. And that torture technique response will be diminished for us to be able to respond, I guess. So, anyway, just seeing these numbers, I just don't even know what to do. You see the numbers of harm, and that this is ongoing, and that there's no jurisdiction in the government anywhere that is shutting it down for the fraud that it is, because based in every jurisdiction that I've read and know about, there was a requirement to identify an infectious agent to allow them to wield the police power that they claim that they have that's lawful. And no one has shut that down at all. It's astonishing to me. A nation, hundreds of millions of people can't figure this out. A handful of people listen behind the woodshed, and a couple more behind from that, only a percentage of that are trying to do something. At least to set up, and this is another thing I was thinking about in helping people this last few weeks. But I've said it before, when you do this, make your records, you're getting back into practice with something you're going to have inside you to do. It can't be the shock and awe against you. You need to be able to have this in practice in you. And writing these letters is another, not just making a record, which you can start to rely on. It puts you in practice, and it also lets you see the evasiveness of the people that you're dealing with. It puts you in a different level of confidence without being arrogant, because then you realize you really are dealing with some people that are really dangerous. And they're in positions of authority, and they can hurt you. And so, it's not just, oh, I know this stuff and I'm going to one day work with it. Anybody that I've talked to, everybody who gets involved, realizes once they get involved, there's a lot more to this. It's like anything that you would do. You don't go out, well, unless you're maybe a natural, and I guess those people are out there. You just don't take a rifle and become a champion, target shooter. You don't walk and get a bow and arrow and walk out and become a successful hunter. Any of this stuff. You don't just walk out into the things that take certain skills, knowledges, and environment, working within an environment. You just don't walk out with the book knowledge and make it work. And now, there are some charm people. I'm not one of those people, but there are a few. They're so far and few in between, it's really not something I rely on. And in the subject matters that I deal in, I've never, ever seen someone who has been able to. I see lots of resistance to what they should do, but that's another style of problem. That we have to be honest with ourselves, I guess is the point about that. And anyway, this little VARS disclosure, again, ongoing, is really a solemn view when you start thinking, well, there's really people behind that. And nobody in the officials care. And so, moving on now with this. anagram-demic. Israel on the verge of a state of emergency 2 weeks after Omega COVID-19 variant war game drill. If we need to hear the repeated story over and over, Israel on a state of verge of a state of emergency like we haven't been globally. All three Omicron Verona cases in Israel were detected in those who were vaccinated. Today, the Independent reported Israel on the verge of state emergency over new coronavirus variant. The country extends bans on travel and all this other stuff. We could read. The WHO weighs in on the Omicron. It made the name. They have a special reason why. It's not that at all. But remember, Israel was not only was it doing war games on this by this report, it was also the highest one of the highest vaccinated jurisdictions on the cutting edge of control. That was more of an internal control. What Australia is doing is really the external, showing people what they're willing to do. I think they went right after the indigenous. I don't know if I reported on that last week, but they went right after the indigenous people, the most helpless, the most vulnerable. See, the most vulnerable are their prey. They're actually working to work to take those people out. It's like the UN. You have the women, children, and indigenous. Same thing. Omicron variant. This is the anagram variant. But how do healthcare officials know which variant a person has? And so here's I wanted to point out what this, the way they do this. And again, to reiterate what's really going on. It's a magic trick. It's our ignorance, our belief that what we're being told is all there is to know. And the clues are in the writing if we know what to read. Recoding the words. You can tell pretty quickly. But here we have, with the news of a case of Omicron, the anagram-demic variant of the COVID-19 virus, the United States, some are wondering how can doctors determine if a person has the original novel coronavirus or if they are suffering one from several variants of the illness. And here's a report, says here's the look at how healthcare officials determine the version of the virus a person is suffering. So we go on and they'll tell you some more about the SARS-CoV-2, the coronavirus, the COVID-19 virus. Well, folks, I'm beginning to stop and remind you, there is no the virus. There is no the virus. There's no test for one. There is none. There's no isolate. There's nothing. And if it's novel, then remember, you're dealing with a what? Are you dealing with a biological, actual biological coronavirus? Or are you dealing with the synthetic, made up, patented novelty? And you need to remember this. When you see SARS-CoV-2, you're talking about something in a lab. Literally, not the Wuhan lab. In the lab that constructs the synthetic RNA chain is that thing. And this is where I told you they would shift over when they finally got it going far enough. Eventually, they were going to move it from telling you that it was biological, then they dropped that, and then they're going to tell you that they can test for it in the labs, and they're going to use something, this test that they claimed. Well, guess what? I told you exactly what was going to happen. They can produce the synthetic in a lab. That's why it's novel. That's patented. When you look at what the PCR test is for, do you think that if they know what the synthetic is made from, they know it's not contaminated, do you think they can use the PCR to identify that? Do you think that the magic trick is being shifted right before people's eyes? If I have the synthetic and I'm using the PCR, when I'm done, I'm not contaminated by someone else's DNA. I'm not contaminated by something I can't test for. The PCR was set up as a research tool to take the known substances and amplify them when I only had a small amount. Carrie Mullis explained all of this. So if I have the novel, patented, synthetic chemical weapon, and I have that as a chain, can I look for that now? Well, the answer should be yes. So is there a test for SARS-CoV-2? Am I going to confuse people when I tell you, yes, there is, but you have to remember SARS-CoV-2 is not natural. It didn't come from a bat. It didn't come from anywhere. No zoological source. This came from a technician making the strings, the chemical strings, the protein strings that make this up. Those they can test. What's a variant? I stopped reading this article some time ago. The test for the variants is how bad those are mutilated when the body gets a hold of them. And they're looking for something called markers, remember? And that's how they know that if they find a marker that they can tell. They can't tell until they find the markers. They don't know this from influenza, remember? They'll also tell you they can't distinguish between SARS-CoV-1 and SARS-CoV-2. They can't distinguish from anything. That's why the test is useless. It's not a test. It's a technique. And so when this story, they're telling you, well, how do they do it? How do they determine it? They're telling you what they're doing. What they're not telling you, if you think about it, that they're telling you the truth and not looking with the decoder ring, that you're not understanding what they're actually now doing. They have shifted now. They can now look for that synthetic string, and they can look for the destruction, the mutation, they call it. It's not a mutation at all. It's the body beating it up and causing the problem when it didn't go through the transcription or transfection process quite properly. That's the mutation. They talk about it in biological terms, but remember, it's chemical. And so, yes, they can test for the patented synthetic. There is no such thing as the natural. And so they've now shifted the focus from people, like I said, that they would do and have to. And they're now explaining how they can find variants. But the variants are actually looking for the destruction of their lab-made strings. And if it takes out the marker, they have an even more problem. And that's what I think we're going to see in a story coming up from, thank you to an emailer from New Hampshire. They're now handing out these tests, the antigen tests. And you have to understand that you cannot fail on these. They will not let you fail. And I'm going to anticipate the story here. When you find a negative result in an antigen test, the government's saying, send it in. We're going to now have to do a different test. Why? Because they can't use that marker that they were looking for in the antigen check got destroyed and mutilated. Not mutant. It's mutilated. And the marker's gone. And it brings them back down to they can't see it. But because everyone has to go positive or at least have their bean counters keep some kind of election tabs going so it looks kind of close. They need to look closer. It's all using PCR technology, I guess, is the end result in all this. And you get down to what test is a person given. The test used when the person first goes into a healthcare facility with the COVID-19 symptoms is known as a polymerase chain reaction PCR test. A PCR test is a common one. It's not a test, folks. It's common. It's been made common, but it's not supposed to be used, if you will, in the wild. It's only a lab situation. If I make a small string of synthetic DNA, RNA, whatever I make, I can stick it inside this PCR manipulation. A small amount can be magnified into a larger amount of chain. Okay, so if you keep track of what they're doing, you say how many Omicron variant, how do healthcare officials know which variant a person has? It's that they're looking for the destruction of the synthetic. That they know. But as a natural source, there's nothing as a natural source. And then we found this story a couple weeks ago, but it's going to be adjusted a little bit, but I wanted to point out something here. It's also predictable that the jab, the chemical weapon, was the vector for the mutations, for the illnesses themselves, the list, the lineage of things that can happen to you, now always known by the manufacturers and just deemed to be not a problem. And the CDC was okay with that. Omicron variant found only in fully vaccinated. All four Botswana new variant patients were fully vaccinated. Is the story. New variant was actually renamed Omicron because they didn't want to call it new, N-U, but not, people would think it was N-E-U-E-W. So they went to this other anagram, the moronic variant, and to move it along, I suppose, and this story will tell you about that, but the point about this story really was that it was all about the people who were vaccinated. And then we got this story right after from South Africa. South Africa doctor who discovered Omicron, he discovered the destruction of the from the previous to the new one that people's bodies are doing. And to go to South Africa to find that, oh, we got this Omicron describes its symptoms. And what's interesting here, people infected with the new Omicron strain of COVID-19 present unusual symptoms, in quotes, that are somewhat different from those associated with the Delta variant. Remember, these are all just proteins the body is screwing around with, trying to keep itself safe from it all. Not working with the technology quite right that they're trying to reprogram you with. The South African doctor, who was one of the first to spot it, has said it's a little bit different. But when you go read through this story, you find out that they say that unvaccinated were also being treated with supposedly this variant. That's a very interesting claim. But remember, the test they're using is faulty. It's not a test. And they do a different test for unvaccinated. You have to remember, all this stuff is working. But what was interesting to me about this is that half of the people were vaccinated. They still got this mutilated thing. The unvaccinated were purportedly showing the same mutilation. And guess what? The symptoms were mild. So the unvaccinated had mild symptoms to whatever this thing is they're now calling the Omicron variant. And the vaccinated still got it. Now, I'm looking a little bit at this to say, okay, are the unvaccinated getting it from, because there's that plasma study that shows that this spike protein can spread in plasma. And so is that how it's being spread to unvaccinated people? Again, I'm not disregarding that it's not something, but if it's a chemical weapon attack, I want to know how. Is my B model, my B venom model, valid at some point? I'm trying to figure out, what do I use to gain sense of it in the face of all this insanity? But we got, body aches and a bit of headache. Feeling extremely tired was the response to this so-called Omicron, which doesn't even rise to the level of maybe even too much the stuffy head fever rest medicine stuff, does it? And even the unvaccinated were of equal response. So even if I move, so we can move from the fact that they're saying for a week or two, only the vaccinated, so there's your start, we're getting it. Now we move to the unvaccinated. By this report, half of this of the people were unvaccinated. Their symptoms were exactly the same. And so what's your efficacy? Well, we already know there is none. It's not about preventing anything. In fact, they're giving you exactly what they've been telling us, all the serious adverse effects. Shows us the proof of that, what they've been telling us. They know. And we have another story to back up. I just give you the blog links. You can, the blogcaster links. You can look at this. You can search this out for yourself. Maybe you're not interested. I think this is probably the biggest story facing mankind right now. And I've been having to focus on it. It's affecting people's lives. People are being destroyed by it. I'm feeling compelled to help where I can. Notwithstanding, the reflection to that is very minimal. Again, I got to keep taking some stock in the fact that not everybody, I've been told, not everybody's going to pass through. Other people will make their strong-headed decisions and not really be thinking. And not everybody will work this out. All I can be is a witness. I can be an example. I can be a source of knowledge. Not that it's the limited one, but at least a point of knowledge, a point of foundation from which people can work and protect themselves when this insanity really starts to kick in. I saw a video from somebody sent me an email. Fascinating what people will do. I think there was another story behind it a little bit, but people will even feign, if my belief on what I saw was correct, and it was another story that was being covered in this response by somebody taking a picture of a little girl without a mask on. The response is, really, you can look at that, don't underestimate, that response is in people. That fear is in people. And that's going to get wild. That's going to be really difficult to deal with. This is what you kind of got to set your mind into. As a potential, don't get lost in it. Keep living your life, still strive for what you need to, and try to wind your way through this nonsense, but have some objective basis to do. We have another story again, Omicron the moronic variant, symptoms unusually mild. So another backing up of a story that you didn't hear in the other one, or you might not hear, the symptoms, even for the unvaccinated, are mild. Again, if we even believed there were some markers that they were testing, the chemical weapon doesn't work out so well. And I was hoping that we would see this. Right? Our bodies are really that fabulous thing. It's a life cycle thing, so I don't know what to say. It helps us up until a certain point, and then we're gone. We're dead. The same type of functions will take us out at the end when it's our time, whenever that is. So in the face of all this nonsense coming up, and a lot of people are seeing the consistency of the plan working out, my disappointment is not someone don't take all this for themselves. And we start with a simple question, like, where's your infectious agent? Where's your finding? And that starts the process for you. We don't see many people actually stepping up with that. It's like, as if you wait later to bring it up. And it's sounding like if you look at Australia, that's not going to work out so well. Then you're going to have to know that habeas corpus, which may not work out so well. But at least if you don't do what I'm saying about that and have that in your mind even, because they're just going to pick you up. You're not going to have a piece of paper unless you have it in your pocket, which would be the best thing. And then you have to have friends. I'm saying this is abduction at a high level. I can't even believe I'm saying that, but this is what seems to be going on. They're showing us that they're willing to do it. Governments are willing to do that. World Health Organization says, in the meantime, no evidence booster jabs would offer greater protection to the healthy. Well, we just heard that the anagram variant, the moronic variant, is mild symptoms. How would a jab, a chemical weapon, offer any protection that they say won't be any protection at all and poisons you? So this is a facial lie by the World Health Organization, but it's also stating that the jabs are useless. We don't even have to go further, do we? So what is the world doing? What is the world? If the World Health Organization was any real authority, what's the world doing? They'll take the states and the jurisdictions will take the authority of the World Health Organization to say that there was a non-pandemic when they remember they didn't never declared a pandemic. They just accepted it. And they'll say they work by the science, but when that same authority comes out and says, well, your boosters are don't offer any greater protection, and the variants are really disappearing, and your jabs weren't designed for the variants anyway, what are the jurisdictions doing? Can't be a medical necessity, which is exactly what I told you to challenge right up front almost 2 years now. So the World Health Organization, I'm just reading a title, organization says no evidence booster jabs would offer greater protection to the healthy. They're making everybody unhealthy. Let's be careful. Yeah. So there's another implied story right inside that. And we get not only, again, more evidence, another study comes out, as we just now hearing, I think this is a journal abstract, mRNA COVID vaccines dramatically increase endothelial inflammatory markers and ACS risk as measured by the PULS cardiac test, a warning, but where now they're doing an independent, I think the Heart Association came out to do this, to tell us that there's a problem, and they've got a study that shows this very risk. And they have a standard test they've been using for many years, and it's coming up to show there is problems. This is not surprising, but maybe not so surprising either when I think it was the Heart Association, supposed to be another expert, if you will, somebody you might trust, when they come out and said, well, we have problems with this, and they posted that, I think it was on Twitter. Twitter pulled this post. And so we can go ahead and do the la, 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 blah, 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 or we can start looking for ourselves and understand that this is saying we're going to have cardiac problems. We're going to have people falling over. We know that the evidence is that lots of young guys just keel over. What's that going to do when you're driving a car? I'm just surprised we're not seeing more of that. And actually, I'm just wondering, I am finding evidence of that. It's not being reported. It takes quite a long time for private people to bring that knowledge out. to find out that people are just keeling over with no passing out, no reason. I've never seen this in my life, folks. I don't get it. I don't get any. Even if I didn't understand what I think I understand, I've never seen this in all my life. So people are going to be hurting here. Anybody, any young man or woman that falls over for no good reason, and it's because of a vaccine, their future is going to be something's going to become a disability to everybody, and not to blame them. And I guess, as I said this before, you can't blame these people, even though they made that decision. This was, again, fear is a powerful thing. And I've also I'm trying not to get so far that I deny fear, a healthy fear that something's out there, but I am seeing something's out there, but it's natural. It's at least natural enough that we can see it's seasonal, something that the government's already thrown its hands up, can't deal with it like influenza. And it's a real killer. It's a natural process killer. But here we have evidence that there's no good can come of these things. And this was over a long term, I think a couple of months. And now that I understand, I can see by this test why they want you to get boosters every 3 months. Now that it comes down that they've been talking about. Because the effects wear off in 2.5, I think it was in this study. And not only will these boosters not help, and we're not seeing any efficacy for or distinction between vaccinated or unvaccinated, the Lancet may be turning over a new leaf. I don't know. The criminals these people have become. COVID-19 stigmatizing the unvaccinated is not justified. In the USA and Germany, and I understand Germany is someone's saying that Germany has fallen. We haven't even heard about that. They've fallen, oh, maybe worse than Australia. But at any rate, U.S. and Germany high-level officials have used the term pandemic and unvaccinated, suggesting that people who have been vaccinated are not relevant to the epidemiology of the COVID-19. Officials use this phrase might have encouraged one scientist to claim the unvaccinated threaten the vaccinated from COVID-19. How a scientist could say that means he's not a scientist, folks. It's just, you don't have to be any kind of a knowledge to know that's just not how that works. And so, that's where this whole thing starts, that's where it goes, and high-level officials use this scaremongering in order to go after the asymptomates that we are. No, that's another type of a plan, but it's found out that the unvaccinated, stigmatizing the unvaccinated, as they say here, is not justified. If it's not justified, then what is the stigmatizing going on for? Is not a medical necessity. And this is what I'm trying to show you. How do you parse this whole point? How do you get beyond opinion? And you have to find the place beyond opinion. And I said, that's the touchstone for objective basis is the black and white. It's the law that already has in it the protections and the obligations and duties of officials before they get the right to unzip their lip. Before anybody, an employer, gets the right to point the finger and say, you are the vector. They can't do that. No due process allows that, and we are watching everyone who allows that allows to themselves the destruction of their own rights. There's no way to have a place that the oppressor, the tyrant, wins. And that's what's going on with these jurisdictions where I don't even know why people are silent on it. I just don't even know why. I have no words about it. I wanted to point out this word comes up again. We use the word epidemiology. In one of the last stories, remember, that's just statistics. They call that science. That's another fraud. We'll hear it here again. The epidemiological relevance of COVID-19 vaccinated population is increasing. In other words, as we could predict, the vaccinated are the vector. This thing wasn't happening until the vaccination started to roll out. Anybody who had to just take a sit back and watch saw this coming. And could see this going. And we're seeing it right now. The Lancet is now coming out with all of its fraud it had told us before. Yeah, I guess we could say this is fraud too. But I think the evidence is actually more that this is probably the truth. High COVID vaccination rates are expected to reduce transmission of SARS-CoV-2 in population by reducing the number of possible sources of transmission, and thereby to reduce the burden of the COVID-19 disease. Recent data, however, indicate that the epidemiological relevance of COVID-19 vaccinated individuals is decreasing. In other words, the first sentence is a lie, and the facts are coming out. The statistics are now proving out, even though what we say the epidemiological relevance is a statistical point, that's not science. That's just the data showing exactly what we would come up with when we used a chemical weapon instead of an actual medical reason and necessity for and treatment. And so, I could read all these stories. I don't know. Again, I haven't had anybody come and tell me, no, we want you to read to us like bedtime. So I cut it short. I just want to get to, for us, to me, I provide these tabs as a basis to start for the information that you might need to fortify yourself. But remember, I'm always focusing on, did we do the first letter question first to identify that there was an official record? Or even if they don't want to tell us, that we just rely on the fact that there is no official record, but there is no thing that they have an authority for. And so this now backs it up. When you didn't identify an infectious agent, do you think you're going to win the lottery that such that your guess as a treatment would have been effective at all? On something nature would not have allowed to go global either. Remember, the plague of 1918 was actually fomented by the troop ships going around the world and hitting all the ports. That wasn't even natural transmission. And we find out that the flu, so-called, wasn't the killer. It was the bacteria that jumps on a body that's maybe not so fortified, and the things we now learn we might need to be fortified in, such as supplementation of nutrition, certain types of eating properly, eating certain things, having abundance in your body with that stuff, let your body do the work for you. Anyway, so here we have, again, they mentioned SARS-CoV-2 populations. Again, if that's the test, if that's what they're using the PCR to identify, that is proving it's a chemical weapon. And you need to really understand that. When they say SARS-CoV-2, whether it's or SARS-CoV-1, that is a synthetic chemical compound. There's no way it can be a natural thing. It's not like what we are told influenza spreads at all. And right now, because of the way they're doing the tests, I would agree they can see SARS-CoV-2, but it's agreeing that it's a man-made chemical weapon. Why can I say that? Because they know what that sequence is. They had no way to know what they were getting off the guy coming out of Washington, because it was just full of a bunch of DNA. Remember, they can't differentiate between SARS-CoV-1, SARS-CoV-2, because they can't differentiate from influenza or anything else, because this is not a test. This is a technique. And the data coming in is saying, again, as I predicted, is, I guess I'm going to have to say other people must have seen it, that the chemical weapon attack would be the cause for what's going on. And now the data is coming in, and the Lancet is finally, I don't know if they turned the leaf over or not. They're finally reporting on that. It's diminishing, folks. They're slowly weaning us off of this thing, is the other thing. While something is coming in that we're going to have to be very aware of, and that's why I say watch out about what's coming in, what more might be coming on. Prime Minister criticizes Queensland planned COVID restrictions on unvaccinated and state records no new cases, is to amplify the fact that here the Lancet comes out. This story actually came out a week or so before. The Lancet comes out then and says you shouldn't stigmatize the unvaccinated, and also says the vaccinated are showing an increasing relevance to what the transmission is, and agreeing then that they don't prevent anything. And a vaccine, by your state law, your duties are to prevent, not to continue. And this is the other thing I keep saying about for you folks that get into your state law. You'll see that the actions taken by the state official, even if they identify an infectious agent to be what they say, the remedy of jab does not prevent. It's outlawed anyway. So the Prime Minister criticizes Queensland's planned COVID restrictions on unvaccinated because the vaccinated can't do anything here unless, I guess, you have symptoms and can test out. But how many people do you see have symptoms? Stuffy head, fever, can't rest, but then you need medicine type stuff. I mean, that's just how your body responds to about all insult. And this is the trick. This is how they did it to people. Anyway, so we have a little bit of pushback, but I don't see anybody also saying, wait a minute, the SARS-CoV-2 can't define it unless you admit it's a man-made attack on a nation of people. And where do we find the fingerprint? The fingerprint is attached to the patent that is owned by whom? The United States government, the CDC. And they're strong-arming to get that. Back when, folks? 2003? Unvaccinated Australians face prison time, huge fines for non-compliance. Why? But this is the showing you. This is showing you what you may have to consider you're looking at in the future when no one wants to check the police powers being wielded by a criminally organized contingent of agents, foreign agents on your soil. That's all I can say. The unvaccinated Australians face prison time. Why? Folks, do I have anybody that listens behind the woodshed from Australia? Anybody? I tried to talk to Max Egan. I don't get no response, not even from any of his listeners. I guess nobody. We're supposed to be so close to each other, 6 degrees apart. I have nobody responding that says, wait, you have a thing over there to do? Max, where are you? Where are your listeners? All you celebrities with all of your listeners, where are you saying what to do in order to bring this present for people? My mind boggles of thousands and thousands and thousands of people that could be moving on this, especially now in Australia, because you really are, and your indigenous people are really being trashed, especially because of that. It's the worst there. You have the best opportunity. Where are you all? Unvaccinated Australians face prison time. For what? Exactly. For what? No one asked. How'd you objectively find that? No one asked. I can read the story. I keep wanting to read. There's nothing to read. People are being destroyed. The nations and societies are being destroyed by a few people, and no one knows what to even say. And I'm not really, I understand there's a contingent of people that just want to go hang other people and shoot them and all that. That ain't going to happen from you. That's going to happen from people who find out later, after they got the jab and they're about to die, they still have a few breaths in them, that they're going to probably track some officials down that they think done it to them. That's not the type of stuff we want to actually be doing, but that's who's going to do it. The desperate and ended. And we had an opportunity to stop this ahead of time. Every day. And nobody wants to do. And I say nobody. There's a few of you. But where is Australia? Where is the voice of Australia? We have an alternative media. I don't care. Twitter we don't need. Facebook we don't need. We have plenty of avenues through the internet to get the word out. That we should be hearing a din of activity going on relative to everybody focusing and having. And I say paperwork. Why? Because you write it on paper, it's evidence. It's believable to people. It's not an opinion. People say, oh, it doesn't work. Well, you haven't tried anything. You really haven't tried it. You haven't followed through. You haven't found out when you're up against a war, and you're in a war, the enemy just don't give up. Unvaccinated. I mean, I just can't think. I'm stuck on this all of a sudden. I wasn't stuck on it when I posted this last night. Unvaccinated Austrians now, face prison. Australia indigenous are going to their prison. Austrians are going to prison. Where are you? Huge fines for non-compliance. Let me offer something to this. If you get this, if you find it interesting, you go to the blogcast, you get the link, or you put it into your search engine now or you're listening to me to go see that it's out there. I want you to go read that story and go find that they send you a notice to show up. They send you, it's called a summons. That's a notice. That's your opportunity to respond. Why don't you take the opportunity, all you Austrians, all you Australians, all you folks that are the indigenous witnesses of your elders being hauled off, all you folks escaping from those places, those prison camps, that then don't turn into have other friends come in to help you with with habeas corpus? I'm talking thousands. Where are you? You get a summons on this, folks. It's all done by due process. Where is the complaint? It can't be in people that are responsive. This is where you come in with your challenge. They summons you. You say, what for? This is what's the, here's the police power that you have, and here's the requirement under of demonstrating a non-fraudulent exigency. Your summons is invalid. In fact, it's fraud. Just send that quick little letter back when you get the summons. Make a record of your objection up front, the most foundational one. You put the burden on them. What is so hard about this? I'm getting irritated. I can think about it more. Why are unvaccinated people facing prison time? Why don't they defend themselves? That's anywhere. It's what I've been talking about, especially with the exemptions. My affidavits I've suggested do not admit that you have to do anything before they say you have a burden, Mr. Oppressor Demander. What is your non-fraudulent demonstration of the exigency from which you think you have power to speak to me? I said the asymptomats would be the focus because that spins the problem off. In the future, these crazy people that are really fearful, that are deathly afraid of you because you have no mask, they will blame you, and you will be attacked. If people don't, the so-called unvaccinated, the last 33% or whatever it's going to be, I'm hoping it's more, but the silent majority means nothing as well. You are going to face some very interesting times. And you better have a word in your mouth. Even if it's not mine, you better have a better one, too, though, if it's not mine. And so they are attacking people. They need to get people in the system. They need to give validity to what's going on. They use the fear. People respond. We have proof of that sent by an emailer. And this was the last week before it got shifted. Free at-home COVID-19 tests available soon to New Hampshire residents. New Hampshire residents, why would you agree to them? That's what they need. They need to have you buy in that you think that that so-called test is legitimate and that you would supply it and submit it. When you look at what this test is, and this is why I led a little bit, this test, when you go read what the instructions are by the reports, doesn't allow a negative. When you find a negative, you are now required to turn it in so that they can check it by something called the molecular assay. They're not going to release you. They just need, see, epidemiologically, all they need is a way to monitor something. And you're supplying that. You're handing that authority to them. You actually believe there's something to test. They hand you an antigen, which is not a test. It's not a test. It's that the antigen test is the pregnancy test. They even talk about it in certain articles. What's interesting, and the emailer, I appreciate the study, he identified something that's not really stated about this so-called test, this at-home test for residents that's in the paperwork, that's not in the articles or the notice from the Department of Health and Human Services in that state. So they offered these tests, and these tests have a data sheet that goes with it. It all came right on the front end of the anagram variant, the moronic variant, the Omicron variant, right in time to be able to offer free your ticket into this insanity. And Chris Sununu is the cheerleader here. On Tuesday it was that 1 million free at-home rapid tests will be available soon. And there's going to be 4 per households available. Well, what is this test? The test is a PCR test. Remember, the antigen test, the only thing they have is a PCR of some form. They have bunches of different forms. It all ends up doing the same thing, or to some lesser extent. Guess what? The antigen test, when you go find out, is 30% less effective at identifying whatever the heck it's going to identify. That opens the door that even your negative test may be a positive if we can get a hold of it. And they say right in the test, the paperwork that there is, once you get a negative, there should be a follow-up. But who is to do that? Is this really supposed to be sent home? How do you find that out? You got to do like the emailer did to me. Track down the paperwork for the test they could find. And I can tell you real quickly, it was a little bit difficult to find as well. So I appreciated the link so I could go read it, because I don't have a lot of time to track a lot of this stuff down. The test will be available within days of a home test. 100,000 New Hampshire households request free at-home COVID test kits, exhausting supply. So now they create the demand. They now see the need. They got the people to buy in. 400,000 tests got submitted to 100,000 households. And there becomes, and when you see what they, there's requirements for all this that you do, you're in it now. They know you're fearful. They know you're ignorant of the test. They know you haven't figured out what's going on. All they need is that you commit. And within moments across the state, 100,000 homes received a test. Let's go to the test. Again, thank you again for supplying me the emailer so that I could go through this pretty quickly. Again, not having a whole lot of time to go through all this. But I get the paperwork, I look it through it, and I just want to go a couple things because it was observed by the emailer in his due diligence. There was a problem with this home test, and that maybe the home test may not meet federal standards for a home test. And the paperwork is real simple to go to. It's 15 pages long on this home test. Something that anybody off kicking a gutter can do, I suppose. And it says right in the test, if all you got to do is look at the, get the PDF, open it up, and you put in the word lab, because you got to see, is there a lab required? And it says here, testing is limited by this test, this COVID, the suspected COVID test of an epidemiological reason for the test. Statistics, folks, cooking the books, is done for laboratories certified under the Clinical Laboratory Improvements Act of 1988, 42 U.S.C. 263A, the same place, 40 title, you get your civil rights, those exactions of every kind and no other. That these CERT labs meet the requirements to perform moderate, high, or waived complexity tests. This test is authorized, this home test now, folks, is authorized for use at a point of care, i.e. inpatient setting operating under the CLIA, Certificate of Waiver, Certificate of Compliance, or Certificate of Accreditation. Is any home, this is where you get to the corporate idea, but is any normal home got any of this going for it, folks? That this antigen test is a home test that could be sent out by the governor unless he's committing another master fraud? This test is not available to anybody but a lab. You'll also find that they are sent to medical professionals who are explained how to do the test. It all has to do with what? It has to do with that report they need to write eventually. But look a little bit farther. So just go to this document, type in the word lab, and just read for, just go lab, find lab, find lab. And read what it says about the fact the labs are required. And it says here, what about this test? The QuickView SARS antigen test. Did you see that it's not SARS-CoV-2 or 1? It's a generic SARS, even so. And it says here that this antigen test does not differentiate between SARS-CoV and SARS-CoV-2. Well, they also don't, it doesn't differentiate between influenza or any other thing it's looking for. See, they don't tell you that part, right? Well, it can't differentiate between the two SARS-CoV, but it also can't differentiate those between influenza. Likely couldn't do TB either, tuberculosis. So we just go click through real quick, and we just find out that labs are required. The QuickView SARS antigen test is intended for use by trained clinical laboratory personnel and individuals trained in point-of-care settings. The QuickVue SARS antigen test is only for use under the Food and Drug Administration's emergency use authorization, and 100,000 homes just got this on promotion by the governor. Now, I don't know about you, but I've looked around. I couldn't even ask for that. I don't have a trained clinical laboratory personnel or individual in my cupboard. And I doubt that it came with that test. And yet we have people show you just the ignorance of people, and I'm not blaming them here, I'm just telling you we're ignorant as a people, that actually believe this governor could actually do that and that this test was a test, first of all, or that it could do anything. And yet you see the fear in 100,000, almost overnight, the test disappeared. Because that was a surprise to me. I didn't see that for days. I went back, and then this other story popped up that said there was no more tests. Well, they're not tests. That's the law. And then we go see another thing. We look under lab. Just looking under lab, this product has not been FDA cleared or approved, but has been authorized by the FDA under an emergency use authorization, EUA, for use by authorized laboratories. Laboratories certified under the CLIA that meet the requirements to perform moderate, higher, waived complexity tests, on and on, just like they said before. Goes and mentions quite a bit of federal laws and how to do it, what to do, what to check out. A fascinating thing that they've now sent out to homes that don't understand what this is about. And they're going to use this for statistics, which they will use to pump the numbers. And so, I think you need to see this stuff, folks. To me, I just go look for stuff, and it's there. I look for the things that shouldn't be there, and they're there. I mean, if you're going to give me a test that's legitimate, give it for the home, and don't give me these conditional things. I shouldn't be able to find evidence of this. And yet, you go right there, and there it is. There, you look again, and you find right there, it says, no, like the emailer. Again, thank you for doing that look. Everyone needs to read for this stuff, and he had the mind to check. To go look to see this. It takes a little bit of digging. But I don't know of any home that's a point of care facility. So I don't even know what these tests are going to be about, if they were tests, folks. And so the governor in that state is committing fraud, on open fraud. But he's already done it. He's already running on the fraud that he's allowed, that people have allowed, that people in New Hampshire have allowed to hear, and that was to allow him to run without demonstrating a non-fraudulent exigency for what he's making a test for. And that's on people. I don't know what else to say about how to do that. We go on and on. There's tons and tons of stuff. Always in this paperwork, it's already telling you what's up. So here we have the promotion. We have the fear tactic right in front of the anagram variant. And we then get the people to run in and want to get checks. They don't know they're walking into a fraud. They ought to. Should have people behind the woodshed all the time. Why? Not because it's behind the woodshed, because that's what the so-called founding fathers said you need to do if you're going to keep this place a republic and protect yourself and make sure the government is securing to you those things that you are entitled to because of this formation, not securing you by what they're doing. And so we do see the admonition in the document that if you get a negative test, there has to be a follow-up. By whom? By the technician, you know. Now the medical professional has to look at this if it's a negative test. And they say, well, this test then, if it's negative, isn't really good enough. It might be a false negative. It might be suspected of a false negative. It might even be a false positive. But what do? We have to then do the molecular assay. Well, what's a molecular assay? It must be more technical, right? It must be more focused on what it needs to do. Well, I got a little link. You can see it. Interesting website called moviecultists.com pops up. This ongoing theater, this ongoing movie. Hope you're paying good money for the tickets. We get right down to what are molecular assays. I won't touch that. You can read them. We're talking about genomes and all this and proteins. They just express the genes as proteins. They're looking at these proteins. Your body produces all kinds of proteins. What is the molecular assay-based assay? What is molecular-based assay? Molecular diagnostics uses a in vitro biological assays. Lots of words there, right? Lots of important sounding words. Biological assays such as PCR, ELISA, or fluorescence in situ hybridization. The assay detects a molecule, often in low concentrations, that is a marker of disease or risk in a sample taken from a patient. So you're your own patient in your home, and you're also apparently impliedly given a license to practice medicine in your home to use that antigen test. I hope you didn't miss that part. I just throw that in now just to kind of hang the joke out a little bit further. They're looking for markers from patients. Preservation of the sample before analysis is critical. Yeah, absolutely. They got to have a sterile environment, a sterile condition of a known source that they can go in sterilized conditions to move from the small sample source to the PCR machine to amplify that known sample, not the contaminated wild stuff. And so we see it's a PCR-based test. Now it's the ELISA. And I can't tell you, it's really interesting. This stuff is interesting to me. I mean, it's fascinating what we do, but this is being completely and fraudulently applied or misapplied, fraudulently misapplied as well, bad and not rightly applied to everything that's going on. It's still a PCR, and what they're not going to do is they're not going to let you up once you do the test. They're going to take it to a lab and let their testing facilities take care of the problem. And what we know that they do, they take your sample, do it through a PCR, they're going to run the cycle time, the cycle thresholds up so that you get up, if you're not vaccinated, they need to run it up in order to find something, right? With some kind of a marker, whatever marker they have, and they can find it. Melissa said that. You can find anything with this. If you just keep doing the process over and over high enough, and anything above 25 cycles is useless. Even they have to even run the vaccinated at 33, I think it was. So it's useless, even for the vaccinated, but see, they get to know what they're looking at with the vaccinated. If they're looking at the vaccinated and it's a false positive, they can just put the synthetic string in and they can find that now in this special test. Now that they can let it, they shifted the game on you and now didn't let you know that the reagents will be testing for the synthetic lab-made one. Why? Because there's no natural one. But it's PCR. It's a technique. They can use a lot less of the sampling in order to amplify it up, in order to see whatever it is they want to see. And then you heard that they cannot differentiate between the two. We also know they can't differentiate between anything. And that's where I told you when they allowed us to know what we had already thought they were doing, taking the influenza numbers and applying them to COVID-19, so-called. And so I also brought, when I was doing the quick research to figure this some of this out, I didn't really fully understand what a molecular assay is. I did run across a very interesting, it was a little bit long, but a very interesting discussion about what's called avoiding hurdles in molecular assay development. And I did, you can look right at this, it's only about the PCR. Avoiding hurdles was, they're talking about the development of this type of an assay. It's only relative to PCR. There's no other type of molecular assay that they would perform when they say molecular assay. I wanted you to see it. I don't know if you want to spend the kind of time on it, but it's informative, big time informative. It lets you know, shows you what's involved, and you can start applying reality to what's going on and finding out, even if you didn't have a better thought, there's something not right with this picture at all. Then I moved into something and found another thing. I had my PCR, when I started to understand what PCR was early on, the steps they were showing for the PCR were apparently very minimal what they were explaining, because I ran across something that I also want you to see, and this is like really amazing. In the amount of steps it takes to do what they do know about, apparently, tuberculosis. The PCR test that they show in this little 8-minute video, all the things they have to do, kind of makes running through millions of tests pretty impossible, even if they were a test. The video I'll give you a link to, do you want to know whether the medicine is working for the TB patient? There's a video on all the tests they do in order to find out a before and after medicine treatment for tuberculosis patients using the PCR technique. how they find a differential to see if whether or not the medicine is proper, the treatment is proper for tuberculosis. The very first thing you'll likely find in your communicable disease statutes, something they can identify. Not something they can't identify. But if you want to see the complexity of the steps on doing this test to find the differential, if you're looking for variants, if you're looking for what they claim to be doing, I think you could conclude when you start adding up all the time, they would not be getting through many tests at all. And I haven't heard of a Tesla-style manufacturing setup where there, or an Iranian nuclear purifying filtration system that's set up in gobs and gobs and bunches of these testing facilities, sitting with little technician monkeys doing this testing steps to be able to run through the amount of tests, if they were a test, the amount of tests that they could would need to come up with, steps that they would need to come up with to come up with the answer they're telling us is supposed to be the infectious agent. I was stunned. I hadn't thought all of these steps were needed. And yet you get to see now. I guess the point is you need to be certain that what you're seeing, what you're not seeing, is what you know, what you can tell, not what I can tell you, what you're told, just the things that they're out there. When I run across them, it's certainly not near as what I find, only a little bit. I think it's important that you see and you put it in context of what you're looking out in the world, what's really going on. In other words, when you see what's involved for TB patient differential for treatment, you also realize they're not doing anything relative to SARS-CoV-2, let alone the differential for you. Remember what am I saying here? I'm always speaking to the fact that the law said that each one of you had to have some sort of a report written and an assessment done and 4 or 5 or so, maybe 15 steps before they even get to be able to put anything on you. And that's after you get a chance to respond, maybe even through habeas. That's all part of the process. That's anyone that you've ever seen in the last 2 years now been told you they've been able to go through that process. Any of it? No. When you see this TB thing, I would hope that it would just, your mouth would be dropped. After I was going through a few minutes and I'm like, my mouth just started to open, realizing how many steps, and I was still looking at a quarter of the video to watch. And they're just going through these steps. You got to do this for 3 minutes. Got to do this. Got to do this. Got to over here. Got to put, got to incubate. Got to wait. Got to bring it back in. Wow, that's pretty fascinating. Where is that in the world? Now, for TB patients, it must be somewhere. But that's a lab technician focusing on what they're doing. And you're not, they're not doing any other tests, it seemed to me. I guess there could be some overachievers. But keeping everything straight, it was fascinating. It's really fascinating. Fascinating. But it's not what we're enjoying. It's not the due process you can expect. And when you see this process, you get to challenge them on that. This is what it took for TB. What did you do for me? Oh, wait. Oh, you couldn't do anything for me because there wasn't a medical report. Then what's your authority? See how fast we get back there? And why the world is not speaking like this, I really don't know. And if they don't listen to you when you say that, that's fine. Get the next guy, another 1,000 people coming, saying the same thing. Is this really so hard? And despite the fact the unvaccinated should not be vilified, that they stigmatize, that there is no efficacy, that there is nothing going on, that there is no prevention, Rhode Island, on the East Coast here, Rhode Island to introduce vaccine passport. What do you think New Hampshire is going to be doing relative to getting knowing 100,000 people are willing to get a test that's not a test, can't prove anything, hasn't gotten anybody to send in that they had a medical report that just testified that they think that they're suspecting themselves of it, which starts that same process that they have nothing to do, no clue about, and won't respond further than being afraid. Rhode Island to introduce vaccine passports. Okay, so it's spreading around, all on a fraud. And so Governor Dan McKee, I name him because these people are criminals. They're working in an organized criminal syndicate, and they're criminals, and they're violating people, and I don't see why people don't see it. They want these vaccine passports, and they're not vaccine passports. They can't be vaccine passports if they're tracking SARS-CoV-2, and they are known to not prevent. See, I don't care about what the CDC says. And you say, well, does it? Well, if you don't care, it doesn't matter. It matters what the CDC. No, the state authority has to say, not the CDC. They can't determine in their own code. They can't determine a treatment that is other than preventing something. So they're outside of the scope of their authority right there, even if they have a test. But this even if thing I've been telling you for years about, you find the even if you have, I hand you the authority, you failed. It's always the backup step I'd use, always. Even if, I just did it on the criminal complaint, which is still ongoing, still being put together, we're very, very close to the end. I come to, even if they have the Forest Service has authority, they fail. And here's how. And here's how badly. Rhode Island to introduce, without a whimper, a vaccine passport. No one's going to challenge this. I don't know why. Someone in vaccines got to step up. And this is right before, this is how I pull this together too. When I see this stuff going on, it's really a plan. I don't see it. I don't know how to interpret it really anymore. About the same time, 80 House Republicans helped pass a bill to fund the federal vax database. 80 House Republicans voted with Democrats on Tuesday to pass an Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act, which, if passed by the Senate and signed into law, would fund federal vaccination database. The New Hampshire and the Rhode Island condition feeds right into what's coming down. This has already been set up. But it says, remember, I told you, whenever you see a modernization act, that's tied to sustainability, that's tied to future control, and in the future it works against you, as I told you, in what, 2010 or 2011 or so, all those modernization acts and your food and your water and your health and all that other stuff, that all was going through. I said, you're going to watch a time in the future. We're now in that time when all that gets used against you, and it has been. This is another one of those acts. This is also, anybody who's got any thought in their brain realizes this is a federal registration. There, and then I want to remind you, there is no federal authority in healthcare matters to even validate this thing, to have a need. But this is more of an extension, if you will. My first thought was, well, this is just a reason for the real ID, another way to get at the real ID. They want it national. They need a national way to keep track of you. Like they now need, I hope, how many of you authorized Google to do second authority thing where you have to give a phone number. They want to identify you where you are by contracts and by other things so that they know where you are all the time. Two-factor authentication, as I just heard Google just did that. They want your phone numbers. I told you they want you on phones. They want you to be able to identify you. And they're doing it in pretty deceptive ways as well. But at any rate, most of you won't care. You just keep on going down that track. I don't know what to do about stopping that. But here, the House Republicans and the Democrats are working together to destroy you. They want a federal vaccine database on something, on stuff that they're offering that are not vaccines, that no government jurisdiction in the United States says is a vaccine by its authority to treat, to prevent. And I see this back through the state authority. It's fast for me to get there. I'm asking y'all to understand your state laws. It's fast for you to get there, too. And then you're not arguing. You're not arguing whether or not you need to do be on the database or whether it's a vaccination. You're saying that there's no authority in the beginning. Forget the federal. We don't have any authority in the state. I don't have to be even considering in the database and what they are going to use it for. Don't register yourself. What are you registering yourself for anyway? So, it's already ahead of you. The federal government's running roughshod over this. And I've told you about the proof that says the federal government already admitted they don't have the jurisdiction and it's exclusively within the state. And then I showed you how to show that that exclusive jurisdiction in the state is not empowered in a fraud. It's not empowered unless and until they can demonstrate the non-fraudulent agency, and that's in the black and white, not opinion, the black and white duty upon the officials. And that should, well, when one or two of you are doing it, no, it's not going to do anything because no one pays attention. Everybody should be doing this so that everyone will pay attention. That stops the lawful authority and makes a record of the problem for them. And if you're listening carefully to the notices they give you, like summonses and things like that, your first letter of an inquiry, the invitation to take a test you don't need. Those are all the things that start to wear to eliminate that those blocks and new processes that you should have insisted for yourself. If for those of you that believe you have rights, want to know where they all went, if that's where they are. It's like the miners. I keep telling you, miners want to disregard all their agency. Agencies send them letters, and they say, "Oh, we don't do it. That's, you know, I don't have to respond to that." No, they do. And when they don't, then the government takes license to do the next thing it wants to do, and makes the record that you are subject. That's what's been, all this COVID's been doing the same thing. So I want you to think about something as they require these steps and they go after the, you know, make the vaccine, the unvaccinated, the whipping, the current whipping boy and girl when it's not relevant, and what they're doing, what they're requiring in these vax databases. Don't forget, if they have you to the point when they can start mandating without power, they can do whatever they want to do. And if it's a vax today, it might be some other type of treatment tomorrow. It may always be a vax. It may be the booster, notwithstanding what, who, see, who's wiping his hands right now? Well, we never said a booster was required. And then they rely on the state authority to continue going because they have everybody believing the state has an authority to do fraud. But here's what I want you to consider in the future. Even if you've already agreed to the vaccination, and for those of you that have, you have. I don't know what more to say. I'm asking you to start looking to minimize the potential effect that it might be doing. That's done. But be aware of things, and so that you can be aware that the future may hold a little bit of difficulty, or maybe a lot of difficulty. But the fact that there is a vaccination that you took, the point is they got you to take the first one, and they will likely get you the booster if they got you in fear, but it's going to get worse. They have treatments, okay? And it's not going to stop at vaccines once they have people on the roll that the government guides their health care. Obamacare, Trumpscare, yeah, it's all part through there, and then through the death committees, remember all those? Yeah, they're all sitting back in there. What if one day you now agreed to all this, you haven't put any resistance, you're not practiced to flex your due process muscles and resistance, and even passively this way. One day they say that we're going to introduce a treatment, and it's where scientists have built the first living robots that can reproduce. And we've done that to target things like cancer, to make your life all better. In a potential breakthrough for regenerative medicine, scientists have created the first ever living robot that can reproduce. Will you want that in your system? Are you in a position to be able to resist that properly instead of just saying, oh, no, heck no, I won't go? And then they throw you, like I saw some elder, throw the elder, indigenous elder in Australia, in the back of a little van. It was kind of funny looking van, a little tall, skinny thing. Threw him in. He's only one body wide, and they threw him head first into this thing, and they're going to close the door. That's what's going to happen. You don't have a better word in your mouth. You want them to inject little robots that reproduce themselves? This is an interesting study. They took a machine, artificial intelligence, to calculate how they could make a mouth on this thing so they could do it, and the artificial intelligence came up with something that is not essentially an intuitive answer, but it ends up looking like a Pac-Man, if you will. I don't know how that couldn't have been come up with, but anyway, that's what they're saying, trying to give artificial intelligence more authority than it really has. But they're constructing these organisms that are nanostructures, that have structures that can build more structures, that go seek out material to build structures within them, and then throw them out, and they get to go and start doing it. At this point, they're having a little bit of trouble with making generational reproduction, but they're working on that, and they think they have that solved. That one day they come to you and they said, now we've got to have to inject you with this little critter, this little biorobot, and it's going to do some work on you. So I want you to think ahead of the future time when you think it's okay now, but then they start doing some real weird stuff, real heinous things, and you don't have a clue what these little nanobot robots do. I can imagine what the AI robots on Twitter can do with your posts. Can you imagine what they do when they get in under the promise of treating drug treatments and traumatic injury and birth defects and cancer and aging and more? Does everyone want to live longer? More healthy? Yeah, the big promise. Oh, it's going to be over in 2 weeks. Anyway, so this is a story. Pretty interesting technology. Amazing. Xenobots 3.0. they're traditional robots. They're neither traditional robots or species of animals, but living programmable organisms. Now, I still will put quotes around living. They're a construction of formable proteins and things that they then use the pre-programming of how they function in certain environments in order to do what they do. Pretty interesting technology applied. It's not really living in the sense that it's alive. It is, again, like AI. They understand how materials will respond, and someone puts those characteristics together for a function. But do you want that injected into you if you're going to accept all this mandatory stuff when it comes to that still? This is where this has all been going anyway, but now the stories are kind of coming out to show you this is now on the table, and this is what's going on. Now, in the meantime, the Republicans trying to get the vaccine mandate. There's also this other side coming around. Republicans are now bribing people not to get the vaccine. Now, on the first front of that, that would be, you would think, okay, if you see it as a problem, like I'm seeing it as a chemical weapon, great, Republicans are now bribing people. Why do you bribe them? First of all, why do they even have a say? Why don't the Republicans step up and identify that no jurisdiction has demonstrated a non-fraudulent agency to require the vaccine, and that the vaccine that they're offering is CDC's committing a fraud. They aren't a vaccine because they don't prevent. And even if we look past the CDC fraud and give them the power at the state level, the local health official can't allow it as a treatment because these things that they say are vaccines at the federal level are not preventing anything at the state level. Why aren't the Republicans saying that instead of so-called bribing, offer incentive for people not to get the vaccine? Again, this is another type of buy-in that they get the people to say, oh, these people can do something for me instead we don't do something for ourselves. And this is all as they say Omicron, the moronic variant, reaches, the anagramic variant reaches North America. Why aren't the local officials that are against the vaccines and the mandates doing the more proper thing? And as I ask that, I keep asking, where are you folks in these states, in Florida, Iowa, Kansas, and Tennessee? They're supposed to be GOP controlled. Where are you not stepping up to say there's a fraud going on in these states? Where are you? There's incentives to cause a problem. I don't think that's the source that you want to do that. I would be turning on these people and saying, why aren't you stepping up and representing the fact to protect me that there's a fraud out there? Why don't you do that? And then if you want to leave your job or cause the harm that would cause, not by your hand, but because of your critical thinking and understanding that you need to not be involved with a kind of relationship like this, you just plan to walk away from that job, let it collapse. Let the system refigure itself. It's changing already, though, folks, so maybe you can kind of hold on. But why is the bribe against vaccine mandates instead of the assertion of a fraud against the fraud? Assertion there's a fraud against the proper fraud in these Republican states. Where are you? South Dakota, where are you? The people there have a key to do. Where are you? Why do we continue to listen and think, oh, the Republicans are now, you know, this is made on the negative, oh, they're bribing people, in quotes. But why is that a bigger issue than them not pointing out that not one jurisdiction in America has shown or demonstrated the non-fraudulent agency that there's anything out there? And the other thing is, because it's hiding something possibly, like my friend got involved with, something he tangled with. He's kind of has a sailor language, so it was a lot more harsh. But it knocked him down pretty good, knocked his wife down pretty good. They survived without remdesivir, without ventilation, which was the protocol. Now, he ain't feeling too good right now. He's got a little bit of energy to get back, but he's alive. That's the thing that we might have to be doing. Why isn't the government identifying what that is? Because I've heard that for about a few times. There is something out there, this is before the vaccines, that is really, really looks like a really, really bad flu. Why isn't the government identifying that so we can protect against that? Has been my gripe, if you will, for any of these political parties. But then again, you know, I'm not jaded. I don't have no more opinion about it. I know the Republicans and the Democratic Party are criminals. They're committing treason. What do I say that? The JMD lawsuit against Kitzhaber, the Democrat. But we sued the Republican Democratic Party. We sued the Bar Association in 2013. They defaulted out of an equity action. I don't know what more to say. But they're not here to help us. The government that was established is not here and is not serving us. As I just put in the criminal complaint, the government that was established to serve us, we are not being served by. I said a little differently, but that has disappeared. And yet the supposed authority, oaths, the obligations, the duties are there to be fulfilled. Where is that country? Is the problem of the people not maintaining that country? That, in my mind, in one way, is as simple as demanding that the black and white of objective basis, demonstration non-fraudulency with a medical report for someone suspected, and that's a different type of suspicion than, oh, you've been in contact. No, there's some real reasons, some foundational, factual reasons to interpret that. And the tests are made, and the assessments are done, and the determination is made of what the proper treatment would be through a doctor that someone would go through in order to not make the rest of the society affected by that known contagion is not insisted upon by us. Now, what's happening through all this, and on the what I say before, can't remember now what it was anyway, earlier on, the unspoken, indirect, irreparable harms, we're seeing evidence of that. It was predictable. Inflation causing hardships for 45% of U.S. households. This focuses on the poor people of the United States. 45% of the United States households has to tell you we're not the land of milk and honey anymore to begin with. So this report tries to make light that there's going to be people that are not so poor that are going to be okay. Well, there is no likely a middle class as we understood it. But this is direct evidence now that there's a 45% of our households around us, people, half of the society around us, is going to be in hardship as we go into this so-called Christmas. This is not actually blamed on COVID. This is blamed on the increased pricing of stuff, which was indirectly caused by COVID, but it's actually a plan to interfere with your commerce, which should have been a military national security issue, and you saw which way the military went. I just want to point out that there's real harms coming that we have to prepare ourselves for. This is not something that people can avoid, that they are, and we're all locked into the same problems because it's no different than being told we have COVID and we're going to run to get our test. People have to respond to their needs more direct than this thing, and they are and already being identified in trouble. And moving on and then focusing a little closer, magnifying glass a little closer on the most vulnerable. It's not just this country. It's flattening the curve or flattening the global poor, how COVID lockdowns obliterate human rights and crush the most vulnerable. This is a global destruction. Austerity, climate change policy, the future we want placed on everyone. Just as I was saying, it would be has really nothing to do with COVID. Well, COVID is, again, climate change. It's political. The political climate is changing. And you've proven you're agreeable to that. In October 2021, it seemed as though lockdowns that still paralyze societies in Australia, to New Zealand, and Singapore were coming to an end as the countries threw in the zero COVID towel following a year and a half of roller coaster restrictions and closures. But the COVID-19 cases rising in Europe, several countries are implementing lockdowns all over again, often and with clearly punitive motivations. And this is another thing I don't really speak to. These are not supposed to be punitive. That Austria is going punitive shows this is not a medical thing, obviously. And so this story goes through and it talks about Europe, Austria, Germany, the lockdowns, the oppression, but that it's flattening, it's destroying everybody economically. And you get to that point and you I can't imagine psychologically you don't have a way to go. You will just be oppressed some more. You won't like it, but you will tolerate it because you don't think you have anything else. And not one would step up and say, wait a minute, you didn't have the right. You haven't demonstrated the non-fraudulent exigency to do what you're doing. So the evidence that they're flattening everybody, the poor, you are all becoming the poor. Again, remember, they keep telling us there's this big gap going between the most so-called elite and the rest of us. The proof is happening. The inflation is rising. You have to put your mind, you can't not look at this so that you can prepare to be able to get through it is one of the things. Part of the answer, I think, is really getting together with people locally as you can, although it's going to be a little more difficult with at least half the population really insane. I mean, I don't know what to do with that. I don't know how to speak to them. Like I said before, I'm just watching. I listen for people that got vaccinated. I just watch. I don't get all fretted about it. I just listen. If I hear stories about problems, I make an offer of suggestion of information. It's not going to be received. There's nothing more I can really do. So I just think about it. You know, this is really looking pretty serious generally. They have us where they want us, and no one is really doing much to stop that. The injustices are across the system, and there's no real check for that. And I don't know where, it's too big a problem for me to be delving in as well, but each one of us should take a little bit of that to think about. All of us not saying something, looking at somebody else that's across the street or whatever, have allowed some of this, and because we allowed it somewhere else, it's slowly coming to us, slowly. And COVID kind of accelerated it. These general injustices, some people would say, well, that's only one in many. But I periodically look around. This is something that really crushes me to hear guys and gals in jail found they didn't do anything. They've been there for decades. Another story coming up. Fundamental justice is being declared here. I don't believe this is fundamental justice at all. This is the attorneys or whomever just trying to promote the injustice. Judge clears two in Malcolm X slaying. Finally, on May 16th in 1963, we have a picture here. Malcolm X speaking to reporters. Two or three men convicted of the assassination of Malcolm X are set to be cleared on Thursday, November 18th. How long ago that was, we find this out. After insisting on their innocence since 1965 killing of one of the United States' most formidable fighters for civil rights, Manhattan's top prosecutor said Wednesday. Civil rights, these people are put on civil rights, but I don't know if Malcolm X was told what civil rights were that he would have supported that. The point here for me, not going through the story, you can read it. The people were pled their innocence. They were found guilty. They spent time, all this time, in jail. And it was found finally by the Innocence Project. Those authorities withheld evidence favorable to defense. And this gets me back to the prosecution, the thing we saw in the M and Bundy thing. It's not done. It's not over. It continues. People go to jail that are not rightfully there. I don't, again, have a total answer for this. This is where some people would maybe chide me for even involving myself with a system that does this to people, but if they're not listening carefully, I'm trying to show people how to avoid that system. Sometimes you have to engage it, but there's ways to do that and place all the players on the side that they're at so they can't really do something. And the answer of injustice comes from that is the answer as well, because you can't expect from a corrupt system a just answer. What you can show is their example is an unjust response. And until people see that, and then we rally against that injustice and the maladministration of it and stop it, it's going to continue. But here, fundamental justice was not served that two men were cleared after all these years of his slaying who were dealt with wrongly by the prosecution. Same thing here. Evidence of not injustice. Like I said, people will say, well, that's one in all these. No, no. You got two innocent men who are in jail all this time. It's not a system of justice. Prosecutors that are found to withhold evidence is not a, a system of justice. That it continues today is not a system of justice. I was a party to the lawsuit. Not, I say JMD, but there was two more of us as parties to that lawsuit against a governor of a state and the Bar Association and the political parties. And they defaulted. And that system without jurisdiction, that court we were in, that we identified had no jurisdiction, came in and said they have no jurisdiction, and then did not complete the process in justice, is not justice. I don't expect it, but I did example, there's no justice. Where is the hue and cry is my dismay. This is not novel either. This is just a way to prove that we are living in a prison, an occupied territory. I have another story pop up as I go looking around, little things, Dave. I won't go belabor this too much. Out of Tennessee, no less, where the David Tulis lawsuit is, Governor Lee, the same criminal, or grants 17 requests for executive clemency and first clemency move since taking office. Their study tells you how diligent they were in studying how badly these people were treated that they had to give clemency to, and there's different stages they'll explain. The point is, that's not justice. Those that they had to exonerate, even if it was the one case, is not justice. It's a system of corruption that goes on, and particularly I get to see through the David Tulis' case how corrupt Tennessee judiciary is. For whatever few judges might be there that are great, their example is not present. When I see people in jail that are not supposed to, even one, in jail, that's not supposed to be there. Okay, enough of my, I just get really upset. Enough of my, I guess, rant. And I know that RLM chat room folks, I know you know lots of people mistreated. Because I don't mention all that and endlessly. That's just the pyre upon which our mankind is being destroyed. It becomes so much to have to keep up with. It's all there. It's what drives my, if it is anger here, I don't know if I'm angry anymore. It's just this disgust. An embarrassment on us that so many people can not stop so few. That the evidence of those that are corrupt, exposing how corrupt the system by having to move counter, and thank goodness for the process, right? I mean, that's what they focus on. The governor has the right to do this, and no one looks to see, wait a minute, the governor shouldn't ever have to do that. And thank you for this check and balance that finally was submitted. What happened to the equity that was supposed to be done? What was supposed to be done in the Tennessee, where the governor was supposed to create the non-fraudulent agency before they acted? Where was that justice? So this is really kind of political moves as well. This is also looking at someone, apparently there must be a little bit of a heart pounding left in that state. Why not for all y'all, anywhere, relative to the so-called COVID? And I get the fear. This is the main thing I was talking about, the doctors up front. Those people are on the front line of disaster. Kudos to them for sticking it out, and I can understand that they're working the disaster. I don't think there was ever a fire I went on that I'm ever thinking about what the noise outside was, fighting that fire, or anticipating where it might go and heading it off. Forest fire, house fire. No, you're in the moment. You don't care how it got started. You're just trying to put out the disaster so it's not a worse disaster. Hope everyone survives. I get that. So it's not a complaint here and judgment on people. But when the rest that weren't in it didn't look up and say, wait a minute, they really didn't demonstrate the non-fraudulent agency, we have a problem, and not step up, that's where it starts to tear for me on us. I hate dogging on everybody, actually, like this. If it's their ignorance about it, that's fine. We can fix that, right? Stupidity, maybe not so much. But mistakes can happen. But abject, organized criminal syndicate behavior that continues under the color of a tripartite establishment that had check and balances that really work? I don't think so. I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing people insist on it. I'm going to move into and diverge a little bit. It's something I cannot fully tell you about. I just want some people, maybe if you're interested, it interests me enough that I want to tell you about it. Remember we kept talking about these marker genes, these marker things that these so-called tests look at. Somehow I got myself moving through radioactive kind of conceptings, looking at the future that may turn really, really bad, like these little microbes that have Pac-Man looks that they can build things, and looking at what are they doing, and what if they go nuclear, what if they go radioactive, radionuclides, and nuclides, and they start doing that with these things. And I happen to find things to find, and I want to just point out a couple things for some of you who might be interested and looking possibly into a future without getting too overwhelmed by it. This study here, heparin inhibits retrovirus binding to fibronectin as well as retrovirus gene transfer of fibronectin fabrics. And that doesn't sound like much except if you look at retrovirus. That's Fauci. That's what they've been doing. And that's part of a thread of construction I look at to go down little tracks. Where might these folks be? Because they're super dangerous. In this case, I type in this article for you listening. Type in the word, I think it's radio, and you're going to find out an interesting thing pops up. The radio nuclid virus, radioactive virus binding assay. And I looked at that. I said, what do you mean radioactive virus? And so here's some more proofs of the things that anybody who's read about this stuff that are available. These are fabricated viruses that have radioactive markers. And through this, that's what I started to track through this time. These radioactive markers are actually put on metals that the body uses. In this case, zinc. Never heard of this before as far as the components, but zinc 65 is used as a marker. And this study tells you that these markers, these tests are used for a variety of things, and they identify the zinc, radioactive zinc 65. And it's very interesting how they use it. My problem was that they're using it in retroviruses and with the HIV and the tied to Fauci and what they've been doing since 1984. And you go through and then I read a patent that talks about these things and the use of this is a nuclear magnetic resonance, high-pressure liquid chromatography, detecting the release of radioactive zinc 65, detecting fluorescence, and detecting gel mobility shift for retroviruses and doing the test. It's very interesting what they use all this stuff for. That part doesn't bother me. The part is the markers that they can use are radioactive. And we know these, as we talked about before, that they were concentrating, these materials concentrate. If it becomes a thing in the future, if it's not now, that the vaccines or something they want to inject has these these radioactive markers, and the energy is high enough, or the concentrations are good enough, we may, I want to blow this out of proportion. I didn't get a lot of time to research this. We may be looking at another way to detect potential problems, even when we're going into things like CRISPR technology. And so, I then found a test that the analysis here is the sampling and analysis methods of radionuclides used in the Nordic countries for environmental samples. It's a PDF I found very interesting, shows you how to go through. I'm wondering if maybe some of us should be getting quality Geiger counters and things like that are sensitive to these things. I know the cheap ones may not be so good, but we may be looking at a time coming in when these the Faucis of the world start to include markers that are a little bit more dangerous than even the protein that they're giving. So just let people know about it ahead of time. Don't know where to put that, but Grimner, I understand you're in a bad way. I hope still you get better. Prayers for you. And folks, I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs for Nature World.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
Can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.